You're listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Welcome to the latest AHDB cereals and oilseeds podcast. My name is James Lamb. I'm a senior knowledge exchange manager in the farm economics team. I'm here with my colleagues David Pett and Tabitha Allen, two of our knowledge exchange managers. David, what area of the country do you cover?
Hi, James. I cover the whole of the southwest, so that's from the tip of Cornwall right up to Hampshire at the moment.
Great. And Tabitha, which area do you cover?
So I cover the north of England. So I go down as far as North Yorkshire on the east and down as far as Cheshire on the west.
Great. So today we're going to have a chat about discussion groups, and in particular discussing costs, which is something that we are intimately involved with in the work that we do with AHDB for our levy payers. David, can you just explain to the listeners what I mean by discussion groups?
Yes, well, basically the discussion groups are all part of the Monitor Farm group meetings, which are held throughout the year. And they're, in a sense, a bit of an aside, because we look at the cost of production in these particular groups. So that's drilling down further into people's costs. And whilst that doesn't sound very exciting, in fact, these discussion groups are very, very animated and very, very vital to know what people's cost of production are. And everybody's interested.
Although we don't necessarily drill down into the cost of production, that's the beauty of the process, is we allow people to talk about it amongst themselves, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the process, is we provide the figures and help facilitate the discussion and ask pointed questions and often the way the farmers go.
It's one of the things that's really good about it, actually. And we often have meetings that have come about through a group of farmers that were already part of a discussion group that have then asked us to get involved to help them with that numbers side of things. But as a group, they came together completely independently.
How do you help them with their numbers, Tabitha?
So we have a bit of software called FarmBench that's available for all of the levy payers online, and we just help them use it, really.
Yes, and in that way we're able to collect reports and cost of productions for crops and for beef and lamb and cross sector, really. And then, yes, provide information in group reports back into meetings, and very, very interesting discussions come out of that.
So what would you say are the kind of most interesting discussions that come out of it then, David?
Oh, that can be a variety of things. From all over the costs, from the costs of growing the crop to sprays and fertilizer strategies, to rotations, to soil health resilience, right down to the drilling into the machinery and labour costs.
And what tends to generate the most debate?
Like David said, it's very wide and varied, and I think you see some regional similarities, but some of them are national as well. Certainly some of the groups that I work with have got very involved into like the fertilizer, regen ag, min till sort of area of discussion, just obviously in depth. But we're ranging from, should we be using chemicals still? Does it affect how is it affecting our soil health, cash crops, cover crops, composting? It's very wide and varied.
And it would also depend on the year as well, and what the conditions have been like. And obviously in this year, which has been a very, very challenging year for lots of people, there's a huge amount of debate on what went well and what can be improved. And a huge amount of debate on that.
It can really drill down into their costs as well. So machinery often becomes quite a big thing. And as David said, in a difficult season, actually, did they really need that piece of machinery, or did they just use it when things are going well? So it can throw up quite a lot of differences.
And do they come to you looking for the answers, or like what's the point in discussing the costs?
Thankfully, we're not expected to know the answers entirely, neither by work or the farmers, but we have the access to the experts, shall we say, and we can signpost them or make that available to them so somebody can answer it for them.
And we also work alongside the sector specific knowledge exchange managers, and but we always, more importantly, say the answers are in the room, because the farmers are very much there to help. It's very much peer-to-peer learning.
Now, you two were kind enough to try and collar two farmers to talk to us today. A pretty busy time of the year for cereal growers. So we've got an interview now from Tom and George. Tom is based up in Northumberland and George down in Dorset, both cereals farmers. So if we listen to those interviews now, and then we can have a chat about them afterwards.
Today I'm interviewing George Hosford from Dorset. So George, can you tell us a bit about your farm?
We're in northwest of Blandford on the Bryanston estate. We're tenant farmers, have been here since 1960. We farm around 800 hectares, of which 650 is arable. Chalk-based soils predominantly, with some bits of clay cap covering a significant acreage, and lots of flints throughout.
Now we need to move on to what we want to really talk about this morning, is the fact that you are part of the discussion group with the Blandford Monitor Farm that was for the 3 years, and that's carried on. Why did you get involved with that?
Well, I was, as soon as the Monitor Farm idea was mooted, I thought, oh, I want to get involved with that. It was an interesting prospect. I've always enjoyed farmer discussion groups. So when the Monitor Farm operation opportunity came along, I thought this was great. And again, I was lucky enough to be invited to join the steering group as well by James Cousins, which I thought was a great privilege. And to be able to discuss with him and John Martin and Russell from Frontier and Philip what we were going to do in the Monitor Farm group was great fun, very enjoyable and positive thing to do. We had lots of interesting meetings. And when you guys mentioned the farm bench, it seemed just a natural progression with a group of farmers I knew already. And I think that's quite an important feature. I wouldn't be happy doing that with a group of strangers who you don't know anything about their farms, where they are, how they farm and so on. But with this particular group, I felt very confident and was very keen to join.
This is looking at your cost of production, isn't it? So why discuss your costs? How did you feel about that? How do you feel it works? And how do you feel it benefits you?
Well, I think traditionally farmers have generally do play their cards very close to their chest. And that is a natural instinct one feels. And as being a tenant farmer, one's instinct, again, is to keep your figures private because you don't want the landlord getting wind of it. But amongst a group who you feel are, as I described before, you feel you know them quite well and you feel confident in their company. And if they're prepared to do the same, I'm prepared to do the same. And when it's moderated by chaps like yourself who are sat right in the middle with, you know, you've got no other axe to grind. It's a farmer funded organization and all the rest of it. We know your intentions are good. Then I have no problem doing it at all. The costings, it's the nuts and bolts of what we're doing. And why not share it if there's a chance of finding out, getting a few tips to find out how to do it better? I mean, if we're stupid enough to think we're doing as well as we can already and we stop paying attention, then there's only one way, and that's downhill from there, isn't it? One has always got to try and do things better to keep up with, generally, prices are eroding and rules change and chemicals are taken out of the toolbox and all that. So the only way to, one of the best ways of learning how to cope with all that is to go and talk about it with fellow farmers. And with the money attached at the bottom, well, that is, like I said, the nuts and bolts of the whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we've certainly shared within that group, have shared a lot in the last 5 years. I think we'll be going into the sixth season now for this.
Yeah.
So have there been any particular highlights for you?
You could say highlights, a bit tongue-in-cheek, and I won't mention any names, but the highlights are those farmers who are blessed with just the best land in the county seem to turn it, and obviously a smart operation, and their timeliness is second to none, and all the rest of it, and the sun shines all year round, and it only rains at night. But it's an eye-opener, and it shows that, you know, that's something for us to aspire to. And, of course, it's no good getting depressed about the bits that have performed badly, because we're looking at all the different crops. Generally, you'll find that although one of us might have had a crap winter barley year, we might have done better with the wheat or the rape or the beans or something, because there are, so, as we all know, there are so many variables. Things that it's helped me with particularly would be confirming my confidence in continuing to grow Maris Otter as my only winter barley. I was looking back through the figures this morning, our Maris Otter out of the 3 or 4 years that I was looking at performed very well. It might yield lower than regular winter barleys, these modern fancy hybrids and so on. But because we, so long as we can get the quality, which most years happens, that this year when the nitrogen was too high, It's financially, it's performed extremely well. And something else that is the group has helped me with was our policy over whether we should chop our straw or whether we should be continuing to bail it and sell it, which I joust regularly with my friend John Martin over.
It's always a contentious debate, isn't it?
It's a very contentious debate, and there are, you know, good points on both sides. And it's, and we've talked about it a great deal, especially when we've been talking about soil health and cover cropping and all the rest of it, which we've discussed a lot at Monitor Farm. And that's, the Monitor Farm probably has brought that on for me, certainly, or that whole area of soil health hugely. And I'm continuing to invest more and more time in that to try and improve our soils.
So what keeps you going? Because some would say, well, you know, you've learned a certain amount for the last 4 or 5 years, but why do you want to keep on going?
I'm just not a believer in sitting back and thinking, oh, well, everything's all right. You've always got to be looking to how to improve and fine tune things. And this series of meetings is crucial for that, because if we suddenly find we're bottom of the league table for every crop every year, then we're going to be out of business very quickly. So it's essential to keep going.
Good. Yes, we think so too. So thanks very much, George, for your time. Thank you very much.
My name's Tom Jackson. I am a farmer in North Northumberland. I manage a company called Warrico Farming Limited, and we farm about 1,100 hectares, which is comprised of two family farming partnerships. Myself and my father run one, and my uncle William Jackson has another, and then we also have a bit of contract farming as well.
The next thing we wanted to talk about is kind of why you got involved. Why discuss your costs?
I have been involved with a farm bench group for 3 years now, I think. The main reason I got involved was I've always been interested in discussing costs, because at the end of the day, you know, that's a massive part of what we're doing. So when I was asked to get involved with Farm Bench, I took up the opportunity straight away. And then we found the group that we'd put together was actually really good in the fact that we're all willing to share our costs. And actually, you know, it goes way further than that, in that, you know, we talk about various other things that you wouldn't obviously if the means and things didn't happen. I think, you know, number one rule in growing a crop is to know sort of what your costs are. You know, at the end of the day, you don't want to be losing money. So always had a slight handle on what things are costing, but you know, the farm bench exercise actually managed to drill right down to what everything is costing. So really important in my eyes. It was facilitated by Strutton Parker, who kind of helped us along the way and visited us to gather the information, and then also helped us put it into the farm bench program.
Thinking about that and being part of the group and kind of putting the benefit of having your data on there and stuff, what's been your highlight of being part of it?
Highlights, I think, have just been what else you get out of the meeting. So we're all very open, and, you know, I think you know, other ideas that you pick up from what people are doing differently. You know, you can maybe try a few things in a different way. You know, perhaps, you know, sourcing ag chem or fertilizer or and things differently. So I think, you know, it's just an opportunity to get together with like-minded people and share ideas. And I think the highlight for me has just been taking things away from the meeting that other people are doing.
Is there any challenges alongside that, kind of either with the discussions or with gathering your data together?
I think maybe the challenges were at the start, you know, because people are obviously, it's quite confidential, and there has to be a degree of sort of confidence in the room that things will stay in the room, if you like. But I think as time goes on and trust built within the group, then people start to open up. But, you know, no real challenges. I think that's part of a successful group is everyone being on the same wavelength and willing to open up and share, you know, things that have been successful, things that have been not so successful. And, you know, it's all about kind of just opening up and being honest with everyone.
How did you find the group?
Really, really good. You know, everyone's sort of trying to achieve the same thing. I think it's really important that it's sort of regional and local, because we all come up against the same problems. So, I thought, you know, the group, everyone's kind of chipping in, everyone's keen to get the same out of it as what you put in. I think it's been really good and really successful. As a result of being in the first farm bench group, I was asked to join a second one, which is a Berwick one with other local farmers, which William at Shoreswood was already in. So I haven't been involved in a first formal meeting yet, but we've had discussions on a WhatsApp group, and I'm looking forward to kind of getting stuck into that one as well.
That was brilliant. Thank you, Tom.
A big thank you to Tom and George for letting us interview them there.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Tom raised the point about what we do in these discussion groups is confidential. What's discussed in the room stays in the room. We're very strong on that, and the farmers trust that. And that's when people open up and share the goods and the not so goods. Really important.
Tabitha, why did Tom say that he was recruited by Stratton Parker?
So that's actually part of another project that we run alongside what we're doing. So we had external consultants helping us with our job, basically. So they're facilitating groups using Farm Bench as well. So it's just very similar to what me and David are doing, but Stratton Parker happened to do that one. So that's how Tom got involved. I did find it really good that George highlighted that there's no point getting too bogged down in one particular crop as well. We are looking at whole farm, and outside of the cereals and oilseeds, we can also look at beef and sheep and dairy and potatoes and stuff as well, so that people can put all of their enterprises on there and look at what's going on in the big picture rather than getting drawn into worrying about one particular thing.
Yes, because one thing feeds into another, doesn't it? One has the strengths and one weaknesses, and envelops each other.
And something that goes really well in one year might not particularly go well the next year, but something else will be doing better.
David, can you just answer a quick question for me? George mentioned something about a steering group. Would you mind just telling me what that was?
Yeah, so the steering group is built right into the Monitor Farm programme. So the Knowledge Exchange Manager for Cereal and Oilseeds works alongside the farmer and a few key players, two or three other farmers. And they're basically the eyes and ears of the group, and listen to what the group's concerns are, what their interests are. And then from those conversations comes out the programme for the year, what subject matter the group wants to talk about. So it's very effective and very, very much farmer-owned, farmer-driven, part of the whole Montefarm theme.
Great. Thank you, David. So thank you very much for listening today. For any more information, please visit the AHDB website, where you can find out about discussion groups that are nearby to you and about how to get involved, particularly the contact details of your local knowledge exchange manager. So thank you again for listening, and have a great day.
Discover your farm's business strengths and weaknesses with AHDB Farmbench. Get started at ahdb.org.uk/farmbench.